Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Chili and Mac and Cheese Sunday. Wait, no, that's not right. It's Better Together, Better Together. Also better with mac and cheese. I'm just saying there are options. This morning we are so excited to be following this service with a whole spread of mac and cheese and chili out in the lobby there. You'll want to check that out, not only for the excellent flavors, but also for the excellent people. We are having everyone who is leading a life group is going to be out there so you can have a chance to meet, see who all the groups are, see some personalities, and find out who you want to be spending your next year with. So that is happening today. We are super, super excited. Speaking of our volunteers, can we get just like a hand for the volunteers? It is because of volunteers that this happens every Sunday, that things like our food distribution happened yesterday in the cold. All those things thanks to volunteers. So we are celebrating them coming up. It's going to be Wednesday, February 26th. It's going to be volunteers from all the campuses. So if that is you, we want to see you there at Columbia Station for our annual team night. I also want to highlight this morning, one of the groups that meets regularly is our grief share community. So if you've lost someone, or if you're looking for a space to be with other people who are grieving, this is a really safe space for you to be led by people who are trained in this and who have experienced it themselves. So our spring session is coming up. It's going to be starting Wednesday, February 12th at 10 a.m. right here, and it will be weekly. All right, one more thing I want to point out. If you have questions about other groups that are happening, other events that are happening, or who we are as a church, our Connect class, Express Connect class, is coming up on February 8th. It's going to be 9 a.m. right here, and you will get to meet the staff, learn more about who we are as a church. So be sure to come out for that. All right, so before we get to the chili and mac and cheese, we are going to talk today a little bit from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open that up. Otherwise, of course, it will be on the screens. We're going to be in verses 25 and 26, which says, "You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence. He will keep your foot from the snare." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for the great reminder that you are our firm foundation. You are the rock on which we stand. Lord, I pray today that that very reality, that very truth would make its way into our hearts, and it just wouldn't inform us, it would transform us to be people who are walking in that. Father, we need a great reminder today of who you are. And Lord, let our minds and our hearts connect to the reality of who you are, but also what you do, and that impact the way that we live. Lord, I am just a man. We need your spirit today. We pray that your spirit would speak to us in a particular way to which we need to hear it. And your spirit is able to communicate to individuals in the way that they need to hear it. So, Lord, we invite you today to do that. Let them not just hear a message. Let them hear the truth, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Let Christ be glorified today. Let Christ be honored today. Let us hear the whisper of Christ one time tell us, "I am your rest. I am your rest." Would you please, oh Lord? It's in your son's perfect name, it's who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, good morning, Christ Church. That was stinky. Let's try that one more time. Act like you just knew the Buckeyes just beat Notre Dame again. Good morning, Christ Church. Thank you. A little bit better. For those who may not know, my name is Javon. I happen to be one of the pastors here at Christ Church. It is an honor to serve you guys. I see some new faces. Good to see you guys. Glad to have you. No, I'm not Kevin Hart, so just relax. Don't jump to conclusions, okay? Just keep going. All right, that's all right. Only 30 seconds. All right. But we're happy to have you. If this is your first time here. And also, if you want to know more about who we are as a church, the best thing, download the app. Go on the website, visit our Connection Center, get connected, meet some of the people that are out there that are ready to give you direction to where you are aspiring to go and what you want to know more and more about. So those are the best ways to do when you're here and to get to know more. But also, as Sierra said, today is Better Together. We got chili, mac and cheese, y'all. I don't know about you. Hopefully, Gigi's the only one excited. Hopefully you brought your appetite like Gigi did. Bring your appetite. Stick around. Eat some chili. Eat some mac and cheese. Get to meet some wonderful people. And, man, we're not going to let that down. And you will not be disappointed. We're going to have the bounce house. Everything out for the kiddos. They got some snowball fight today. Some fake snowballs, relax. I don't want y'all getting all excited, like, let me show off how athletic I am. No, your years are behind you, okay? You know, so. But today we're going to be finishing a sermon series we have been in for the last several weeks, and the sermon series titled is The Playbook, right? We've been talking about in this series how we all want a year that's a lot different than last year, right? We all want a year that's a lot different than what we experienced last year. And a lot of us have made plans, have set out goals and visions and whatnot. But this series is meant for us to look to the Lord, to look to Christ, to give us awareness of what we need to establish so that we don't repeat what was in 2024, right? And we've been saying this every week. And I'll say it one last time before we jump into a brand new series starting next week. But we've been saying it every week that your 2024 you wants to follow you into 2025, right? That 2024 you that was annoying, right? Yeah, right? I'm sorry to hurt your feelings. The 2024 you that whined all the time. The 2024 you that never saw any change, right? The 2024 you wants to follow you into 2025. And we've been walking through this series about asking the Lord to give us new ways of how we can walk in what he's calling us to do for this year. So Proverbs chapter 3 is where we're going to be landing at and hanging out in for today. But before we jump into Proverbs 3, this last week on Sunday after church, the family and I, we drove out to Great Wolf Lodge. Anybody ever been to Great Wolf Lodge? Super cool place. Like, I actually really enjoyed myself. We went for a kid's birthday party. I didn't just go by myself. But with the family and I, we went out to Great Wolf Lodge celebrating the birthday. And we're there, and we're having fun. And, man, you know, I'm going down the slides with my kids and in the water. I mean, it is just an amazing time, right? Well, lo and behold, we get to the arcade section. And next thing you know, as we're in the arcade section, I turned my head for 2 seconds, and I lost my youngest son. He was nowhere to be found. Parents in the room, have you ever lost your child before? Man, the way your heart races. The reason why my heart was racing, can I be honest with you? Because I said to myself, his mother can't find out about this. That's what I kept telling myself. Like, I got to find him before his mother realizes he's gone too. You should have seen me. I was knocking over kids. I knocked over a lady. I didn't even say sorry. You know, I said, the Lord be with you. I mean, it was bad. I found him. He's good. He was over there playing whack-a-mole. You ever seen a whack-a-mole? He had no coins or no money, just over there hitting it. No, nothing's coming up, son. But I found him. And let's just say that moment was unexpected. Right? It was unexpected. But then later on in the evening, as we make our way back to the room, I go out and get the family settled in. I go get dinner. And as I come back, I walk in and my wife, she is throwing up profusely. I mean, throwing up. And it got so bad to the point where we had to leave early and go home. Right? We had planned this whole weekend for it to be a weekend of fun, festivities, memories, all of that. But then the unexpected happened, right? The unexpected happened, right? And my wife ended up getting admitted into the hospital. I mean, it just was unexpected. There's a lot of things you and I are planning to do this year. But there's one thing you and I do not plan for. is the unexpected. There's a lot of changes and newness and differences we all want to bring into our lives for this year. And I can see it in your face, and you are determined to accomplish it. But nobody prepares for the emotional turmoil. Nobody prepares for the frustrations. Nobody prepares for the life-altering moments that possibly could come. Nobody prepares for a job loss. Nobody prepares for betrayal. No one prepares for the unfair treatment. No one prepares to fall into addiction. No one prepares for any of those things. They seem to happen unexpectedly. And what do we normally do when the unexpected happens? We default into this one place, and it's called panic. Anybody masters at panicking? You may have a lot of degrees, but your greatest degree is in the degree of panicking, right? As a matter of fact, they call it the fight or flight mode. Your body experiences some form of a deep emotional tension where you're trying to gain understanding and context of a particular situation. And what you think the best way to respond in it is panic. And here's how you know that you're panicking: when you start to think everything is rational. Right? We just have to think everything is rational. And friends, here's what I want to do as we finish this series. And this is where the hope comes in at. This is where the hope is, right? As we finish this series, you and I, though we cannot see or avoid the unexpected, the one thing we can do is prepare ourselves to become fear-proof when the unexpected happens. I want you to hear today's message is that God desires that you and I become fear-proof for this year. And here's one thing the Lord God Almighty wants from his people. Your Father in heaven wants for you is to become people who are conquerors of fear more and more in your life. Because can I tell you this, and if you get anything out of today's message, even if you fall asleep, this is where I want you to really stick to with today's message. Your biggest wins this year will not be when you get that promotion you've been knocking on the door for. Your biggest wins this year, it will not be when your children finally start listening to you. It will not be when this happens. But your biggest wins this year are the moments that you're overcoming your great fears. That's going to be where the biggest, you want to find success this year? The success is when you are conquering and you are walking with the Lord to conquer the fears that want to tear your family apart, that want to tear your marriage apart, that want to tear your relationships apart, that want to tear your faith apart and walk with God. The great success this year is the moments where we don't allow fear to master us, but rather we master fear itself. That's where the success is going to be, and that's where the Lord wants us to lead us. Here's what God wants you to do. God wants you to be someone who is conquering fear more and more and walking in trust in him. And walking in trust in him. And Proverbs 3 illuminates that very reality before us. So let's go ahead and study Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 25. Let's read it one more time, and then let's break it down. Amen? All right, here we go. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25. Here's what it says. Do not fear. There we go. It's what a lot of us need to hear today. Do not fear. Why is it telling us not to fear? We're going to talk about that a little bit. Do not fear of the sudden danger. I picked this verse out because that language is so interesting. Don't you love that the Bible speaks to our lives? A lot of people like to think that the Bible is foreign, that the Bible is unrelatable. But here's Solomon, the writer of this particular passage, this particular book. The writer is telling you, and he's trying to give you this reality. Hey, there are some things going to happen that you do not expect. How many of us can relate to that? There are some things that are going to happen that you did not see coming. But Solomon's reminder to you and I is, do not fear or fear not when the sudden dangers or the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be your confidence. This is your verse for this year. The Lord will be your confidence. If you have a pen, a highlighter, or on your phone, whatever it takes for you to highlight that, whatever, this is it. For the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from the snare. Here's the one thing I want to say about the sudden fear. Here's the one thing that I want to say, and here's what a lot of us think when the unexpected happens. A lot of us think when those moments happen, they are indicators that God has left you. That's what a lot of us think. We get to this point where, and here's the thing, we look at our lives, we say, we're doing everything right. Why is this now happening? And what happens is what we're trying to do is we're trying to cope through the stress of whatever the mess may be. And we're not really good at coping, am I right, friends? We're not very good at coping, right? When it comes to coping, we do a lot of things to try to understand and realize why we are facing what we're facing. And for some of us, we get to this point where we think, because I'm facing this, this means this about God. Because I lost this, or because this was taken away from me, God is far from me. Or I hear a lot of people that will sit down with me and talk with me and ask me, Pastor, is God punishing me? That's what they would think. And I know some of you have thought that before. God is punishing me. God is punishing me because of what I did and what I keep doing. God is doing this and doing, and we fall all into these traps because we're trying to cope. Because in the moments we're coping, we're trying to understand the purpose and we're trying to find security. That's one thing you and I want more and more, is to know the purpose of it and security from it. That's what we want. What's the purpose of it and the security? And if we can't find it, we kind of get to this point where we think God has left us. And let me just say this, friends. Pain is not an indicator that God has left you. I want you to truly hear me that from me today. I want you to hear that clear from me. Don't fall into the trap, Satan's trap, which is telling you, man, God can't be trusted. Right? God can't be trusted. You shouldn't be going through this. Right? But I want you to clearly understand God's heart. And I want you to understand that in those moments, it's actually the painful moments we experience God the greatest. It's actually in those moments. I love C.H. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, a great, great theologian. He says, whatever it takes for God to get my attention, I invite it in my life. Because isn't it in the moments when life is easy, we stop thinking about God, right? This means yes. Let me know you're awake today. Can you, church? Can I get an amen? Keith, can you help me out today? Thank you. Thank you. Give me a Baptist amen or something. Jeez, right? It's in those moments, right, when life gets very comfortable, we get very distant from God. In the moment that comfort is disrupted, well, then we want to blame God. We're like, well, wait a minute. Well, wait, but what if the unexpected was God's way of drawing you nearer to his heart in your life, right? In your life. I want you to realize this, friends. We got to learn this year, we got to cope with our fears a lot better than we have been. We have to. Because a lot of us, the way we've coped with a lot of our fears is we lash out at other people. And we take it out on other people. And other people get the brunt of it. Right? And we take it out on other people. And little do we realize that we're pushing away the very people that God has given us to help us in the moments of great fear. Right? For a lot of us, it's self-medicating. For you to deal with this, you gotta drink. You gotta smoke. You have to take this and you have to take that, right? Little do we realize is that it is driving us into a place of even more unhealthiness into our lives. Here's how God wants you to cope in the great midst of your fears, in the sudden dangers, is cope with this great reality that he hasn't abandoned you. that he hasn't abandoned you, and that he's with you, and that he holds your security in your life. Bring up verse 25 for him one more time. Here we go. He says this, do not fear. Do not fear. Fear not. Why? Why does he tell us this? Because at the end of the day, fear is unproductive. You want to know how I've been very unproductive in 2024? I always talk about my problems to other people. Anybody like me? You want to know how fear has consumed you? You want to know how anxiety is overwhelming you? Is everything that comes out of your mouth is about your problems. Anybody obsessed with their problems like I am? Anybody like me that as soon as there's a nick in my life, I make it the true definition of my life? Yeah, y'all are dead today. I must be a really convicting message. That's a good one. Here we go, right? A lot of us, what we do is we take our problems and we make them the ultimate. We do. We make it the ultimate. And everybody hears about it. Somebody, one time, I'll never forget, I was so convicted. I met up with a guy, you know, my mentor, and I told him what's going on in my life, and then I met up with him again, like, later on, and, you know, I was still upset, and I told him what's going on. He says, that's still on your mind? It's been 6 months, brother. You haven't moved on? And I said, he's right. And a lot of us, if we're not careful, we're going to waste a lot of our year in fear. If we're not careful, we're going to waste a lot of our year. Our year will be more in fear, more and more. Fear is unproductive, friends. But here's why Solomon, the writer of this particular passage, here's why not to fear. Verse 26, the Lord will be your confidence. Here's what the word confidence means. If you connect it with another Hebrew word, acheah, that's how you have to say it when you speak Hebrew. It means that God, listen to this. In the moments when you're ready to freak out, here's what God promises to be in those moments. He promises to be your rest. He promises to bring, here's God's gift to you. Because a lot of us think God's gift should be taking away the problem. But that's not true. God wants to give you the gift of peace in the problem. God wants to bring your soul to true rest, and he wants to bring you to true security, and he wants to bring you to true confidence, knowing that at the end of the day, this mess that I'm in, this situation, the thing that I can't control, here's why we grow fearful, because we can't control the things that we're facing. Even when I can't control them, my confidence isn't in the result of this. My confidence is found in the heart of God. My rest is not when God takes this away, but when God meets me here in this. That's where the confidence is, friends. Doesn't this change the way we pray now this year? Because a lot of us, if we're not careful, you pray for God to make you more comfortable, which I understand and I get. The human soul just wants comfort, but we must define comfort in a better way. Comfort doesn't mean you're problem-free. Comfort means you're free from the problems of your heart, which is the fear that wants to overwhelm you. And this is what God desires, to bring your soul to rest. My sons, they hate going to the doctors. Anybody's like going to the doctors? I hate going to the doctors, too. It's like the worst thing ever, right? I hate going to the doctors. They always want to give me advice. I'm like, shut up and take your own advice. But, if you're a doctor in the room, I love you. I love you, but then I hate you. But keep going. Man. Edit that from the tape. But, you know, we go to the doctor and, they tell us, oh, you know, your sons are due for shots. And I'm like, oh, no, these again, right? There's one thing me and my sons hate is needles. Needles, just don't give them to, don't bring them near, don't want nothing to do with them, right? And as soon as my oldest heard the word shot, he looked at me, he says, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm like, well, you know, if you got to do it, right? You got to do it. Why did he not want it? Because it was going to be uncomfortable, right? And what did he need? He didn't need me to just say, all right, we're leaving. He needed me to remind him, I'm with you in this moment. And I remember as he's, you know, getting the shot, you ever had your kids? He looks at the shot. It's the funniest thing. He's like staring at it like, But what am I doing there? I'm whispering to his spirit, it's okay, son, I'm with you. I'm right here. I'm right here. And you're going to survive this because I'm with you in this. And that's what the Father wants to whisper to each and every one of us today. You're going to survive. Listen, friends, at the end of the day, the Lord will make sure you get through this year. He will make sure he does it. He will make sure that you finish this year and you finish it well. But it takes for you to whisper, and I'm sorry, it takes for you to listen to the whisper of his voice to remind you time and time again, I got you. Don't lash out. I got you. Don't go to do this. I got you. Don't self-medicate. I got you. I'm with you. That's what we need. We need the ever presence of our Father to remind you, I got you. That's what we need the most. Now, what happens as we invite the Lord in those moments of panic? Well, Solomon says this in verse 26 as he finishes. In verse 26, he says, for the Lord will be your confidence. Listen to this. This is very cool. And he will keep your foot from the snare. Now, at first glance, if this is your first time reading the Bible and, you know, and you haven't read the Bible much, you would take verse 26, part B, you would take that verse and think, well, this means God's going to keep me problem-free for the rest of my life. You're talkative today, Gigi. God's going to keep me problem-free. And I get it. And again, and here's one thing I realized. A lot of us, we bring expectations and we bring these realities into our minds about God that God never said he would ever do. And we go disappointed with God with something God never said, right? And we think, well, God, you should keep me from all harm. God said, I never told you that, right? Have you looked at my son, right? The greatest of tragedy of all time, right? But here's what this verse actually means. The word, put it back up there for him, Jalen. The word in verse 26, part B, when he says, the Lord will be your confidence. He will, listen to this, keep your foot, that means your path, because, you know, that means as you journey through life, he will keep your path from being snared. The word keep is the Hebrew word shamar. The Hebrew word shamar. Shamar, all it means is to guard a special possession under one's care and diligence, because of care and diligence. Here's what the writer of this passage wants you to know. What will sustain you, it won't be you. It will be the Lord who will sustain you. Who's going to do that? It's going to be the Lord that does that. We don't have enough strength to get through this year by ourselves. We don't have enough strength to overcome the mental health issues that we have. We don't have enough strength to love the people we need to love the way that they need to be loved. We don't have enough strength. But he who has sufficient strength, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, the scripture says, the one who created all things and by him all things exist, the one who makes sure the sun rises and the sun falls, the one who makes sure the stars are aligned where they need to be, that same God has the strength to carry you and sustain you. So that means this, in the midst of those moments, because what happens in fear, we like to think that the best way to take care of our fear is putting it into our own hands, right? And here's how we put it into our own hands. We say to ourselves, if I just keep thinking about it, it will get better, right? You laugh because you've done it before, right? If I just think about it enough, it'll change. If I just think, if I just think, if I just keep talking about it, if I post about it, if I just do this and I do that. But here's what he says. God is the one who's going to sustain you and make you courageous in this moment. Here's where our prayer needs to be. God, help me to become courageous. Help me. That's how we need to change our prayer this year. God, give me the courage. God, I'm not asking for comfort anymore. I've done that long enough, and I've realized that's not the place where I need to be, because the place where you want me to be is the person you want me to become is to become a person of courage. And the way God makes you courageous is through the moments that you can't control. So don't face those moments as a way of saying God has left you. No, look at those moments and say, this is a moment where God is going to make me stronger for the sake of my marriage, for the sake of my children, for the sake of my life. This is where you and I can draw near to this great reality that the Lord, your Shamar, he will make you courageous. There's one thing God wants you to be is a person of courage. He wants you to become a person of courage. He wants you to become a person who is enduring more and more and more. So maybe this is our prayer. Our prayer to God. God, give me the spirit of endurance. Give me the spirit to endure this. Not for the sake of just getting through this, but for the sake of, because I know you are with me and working through me in this moment. The prayer of courage prepares us for tomorrow's possible misfortunes. Here's what I believe. The prayer, because a lot of us, if we're not careful, we'll think, and this happens all the time. People pray a prayer. I'm sorry, people find themselves in discomfort moments, and they walk away from God. And they walk away from the church. Our friend Logan a couple weeks ago did a sermon. It was a great sermon. Don't let pain and discouragement draw you away from God. As a matter of fact, those are indicators that you truly need God. Don't let pain, listen, because the temptation will be, I can do this on my own. No, you cannot. No, you cannot. As a matter of fact, let the sudden fears and the messes of life remind you how much you need to draw near to God every time. And I love, again, I've said this before, I love Charles Spurgeon's mindset. If what happens in my life doesn't bring me closer to God, I don't want that. I don't want that. I want whatever's going to help me be at the foot of Jesus Christ. I want whatever's going to be help me to be at the place of God, giving God my heart, giving God my mind. And if it takes for discomfort for that to happen, I welcome it because I know in it I find God through it. That's what we need to be. We need to have a different outlook on our pain this year. We need to have a different view of it. We need to have a different reality from it. And say, God is producing something so beautiful beyond I can ever imagine and understand. But my job is to realize and be postured and trust with him. Maybe that needs to be our prayer. Here's what I want to do. I want to give you a couple of things before we eat the chili and mac and cheese, because I know that's what you're craving right now. Right? Let's think of, I want to give you four different ways of how to become fear-proof this year, right? I love the analogy of like exercise helps you to prevent injury, right? You ever heard of that? Exercise helps you prevent injury. The more and more you and I are planted in Christ, it keeps us from the great injury of fear. Keeps us from the great injury of worry, right? Sure, you're going to have those moments, but because of Christ, you know how to endure those moments. So let's talk about the first one. Number one, keep inventory of your thoughts. Everything starts in the mind, friends. Everything starts in the mind. Life is won or lost in the mind. It's won or lost in the mind. Last week we did a passage, Romans chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul tells us to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the, remember, renewing of your minds. What we need to do the most, we need to track our thoughts. We need to keep record of these thoughts that seem to dominate our lives. They call it the asking well. You have to ask yourself, why are you having these thoughts? So when you have the moments of fear, you have to say, well, why am I having this thought? And then you eventually arrive at a place, you must question that too. Why am I having that thought? Why does that matter to me? Why do I care what they say? Why do I care what they think? Why do I always feel unmotivated? Why? And then you eventually get to the root of the problem. Keep inventory of your thoughts this year more and more. Number two, big thing, stay connected. Stay connected, friends. As I said last week, my wife was admitted to the hospital. This has been one of the toughest 3-4 months of my family's life. My wife being in and out of the hospital. In and out of the hospital. An ER run, ambulance coming to the house. All of this. It's been the scariest few months of my family's life. But let me tell you what has been the greatest blessing. You guys, the people that have stepped up and watched my kids and given me some time for myself, who've sent over food, right? And here's what God was doing in those moments. Yeah, I didn't want that to happen, but here's how God showed himself present in my life through you guys. Through you guys. I want to say, as your pastor, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for thinking about us, reaching out to us, giving, loving, all of that. But friends, this is why we can't run from church when life happens. We can't. You need the body of Christ. You need the people of God. Don't think to yourself, I can just skip another week. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You need the body of Christ. You need men and women who are praying for you, who are laying hands on you in a spiritual way, who are doing all of those things, who want to help you, who want to be with you. You need that. This is why we're celebrating Better Together, because we truly believe life is better together. And the one way God wants to reveal his great presence, the one way God wants to reveal his great presence in your life is going to be through people. It's going to be through people. Satan wants you. Listen, the unholy one wants you to think you don't need church, you don't need God, you don't need any of that. And that's a lie. We need people more than we can imagine. And we got to stay connected. Number three. Now, before you put up number three, put it down, because I don't want to hurt your feelings. Number three is a lot different than number one and two. Okay? You might have already saw it. This is going to hurt your feelings, but I don't care. All right, now you can bring up number three. Avoid self-pity. Here's the one way we try to cope through our pain is to tell ourselves we're the only ones going through it. Yeah. And we're really good at throwing pity parties for ourselves. You know one of my prayers that I had this year, and I wrote it in the back of my Bible? My prayer was this. I promise you, you can look at it after service. God, help me to stop playing the victim card. Help me to stop playing the victim card. Because a lot of us, what we'll do is more and more is that we have this victim mentality where it's everybody else's fault. And I have that, and I have that. Now, I get it. There are times where you need to grieve and you need to heal. I believe in all that. But it's got to get to a point where we realize that it's not all about us. Not all about us, right? It's not. But we must do this more and more. Number four, assurance grows by repeated conflict. Here's one gift God wants to give you. He wants to give you the gift of assurance, the assurance of his great love, the assurance of his peace, the assurance of his promise, the assurance of his hope, the assurance of his forgiveness, the assurance of his redemption. God wants to give you the gift of assurance more and more. And friend, we find assurance looking to Jesus Christ, who says to us In this world, you will face trials and tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. God wants to give you the gift of assurance, and that assurance, the sweet assurance, is found in the constant conflict of our lives. Before we close, I want to say this, and I forgot to say this last service. I want you to thank God for the good times, and I also want you to thank God for the not so good times. The Bible says, be thankful in all things, right? Right, Dorothy? Be thankful not when you got money in your account and things are looking pretty good. Be thankful when that negative shows up in your account and you're in the red. Be thankful when your kids and you are fighting against one another again. Be thankful in all things. Thank God for the good, man. God has blessed you. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. But you know what? I thank God for the unfortunate moments in my life, because it was those moments he brought me nearer to him. And if it weren't for pain, if it weren't for the mess, if it weren't for the terror, if it weren't for the unexpected, I wouldn't know the Lord. So I thank God for that. Let our hearts be stirred up in thankfulness more and more. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that we can be people of courage this year, not because of our strength, but because of the strength that's in you. I pray we can develop a sense of endurance, not because of our experience, not because of how well put together we are, but because of how good you are. I pray that, Lord, you would be our courage. I pray that, Lord, you would be our strength. I pray that, Lord, you would be our confidence, and that you would drive us towards the people you are calling us to be. Help us to see the unfortunate, the moments where life feels like it is all tearing down right in front of us. Help us to view those moments not through the lens of fear, but through the lens of faith. Help us to not view them through the lens of panic, but through the lens of your promises. Help us to not view those things not through the lens of anxiety, but through the lens of assurance that you are working all things together for the good of those who love you and who are called according to your purpose. Give us a spirit not where we are seeking comfort, but we are seeking to be people who are courageous. And I pray that through this, that families and marriages and many of us will be blessed in and through it, because you bring blessings even in those moments. And the great blessing is you transforming us to people of courage. Would you please, Lord, give us this spirit. It's in your Son's perfect and wonderful name. Amen.